Saturday. So just want a slight change. We normally have it on the first Saturday of the month, but for this month, it'll be the second Saturday. I don't know, but somehow the word got out that Pastor Don was not going to be preaching this morning. So the people said, well, I'm going to stay away from church. I'm going to play hooky. But anyway, good to see you guys. We want to continue on mission that we have been talking about. Pastor Don has been leading us through that. Maybe you are at a function, being a birthday party or of some kind, and someone that you know zipped by you, and you said, hey, what's the hurry? And the person says, I am on a mission. And later on, you probably found out what that mission was from your friend or the acquaintance. But today, as a text, as we focus on mission, I would like for us to look at Romans chapter 8 and chapter 1, sorry, and verse 16. When the Apostle Paul says that, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. That is us. We are the Gentiles. And so as we focus on mission today, I want us to think about the Apostle Paul and how God used him and how he was in mission, not at the very beginning of his life, but he eventually became a very outstanding leader for the church. But before we go into all of that, I want us to consider the following, and that is John the Baptist. And we say, well, how come, you know, John the Baptist fit in into all of this? But John was baptizing by the River Jordan, and people thought that he was the one. But he immediately says that, I am not the one. There is coming one who is more powerful than I am, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. And so for us to have a more accurate reading or situation of this, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 to 17. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus says, let it be so. Now it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water, and that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. John did not understand that why the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was coming to him to be baptized. John did not realize at that time that that was part of his mission, that God was going to use him. And so Jesus helped John to understand, let it be so now. This is part what you are going to do. I am going to be baptized by you. And afterward, he agreed that this was going to be that way. Jesus, what was his mission? In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovering of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was Jesus' mission. That's why he came. You may have noticed or seen on the website that Hope Community Church has a vision and a mission statement. Always keep in mind that the vision is always the bigger picture. That's the vision. The mission is, how do we get there to fulfill the vision? So I want you to keep that in mind, the difference between the vision and the mission. The vision of Hope Community Church is that to equip, to mobilize, and serve people so that they can join with Jesus in making all things new. The latter part of that is from Revelation 21 and verse 5. The mission of Hope Community Church exists to bring the hope of the gospel to our community, nation, and to the world. What is our mission today? What is your mission? Maybe you didn't realize that you do have a mission. And so I would like to encourage you to write out your personal mission statement. You don't have to do that right now, but I want you to think about that what is my personal mission statement as a Christian, as a believer, as someone following Jesus Christ? What do you want God to do through you? How do you want God to use you? How do you want God to use you to impact your community where you live, to touch the hearts and lives of people for Jesus Christ? While I was doing all this preparation, I came up with this for myself. I want God to use me as a magnet to draw people to me, giving me the opportunity to share Jesus Christ and His love. If you want to use some of that verbiage as you do your own, that's fine. But I want God to use me as a magnet to draw people to me, giving me an opportunity to share Jesus Christ and His love. So, what is Saul's mission? Because you remember he was Saul first and then he was Paul later on. So keep in mind that Saul's name was changed from Saul to Paul. So before we get into more details of how his mission and what he was about to do, being on a war path against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at what was happening with the gospel and Christianity at that time. At Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2. The birthday of the Christian church. After Paul's message, over 3,000 people were added to the church. And they continue to share the gospel daily from house to house, in the temple, in the marketplace, to the temple, from house to house. They share the gospel and many more were added to the church at that time as a result. Peter healed the crippled beggar, and all were filled with wonder and amazement. And the crowd came running to them, and Peter took that opportunity to give another message, and the crowd grew. The priests and the Sadducees were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching and preaching in Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. They were put in jail as a result. But many who heard the message believed, and the number grew about 5,000 at that time after his message. In Acts chapter 5, the apostle performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and as a result, many more were also added to the number. There were a lot of opposition at that time. because the gospel was spreading like wildfire. And instead of stopping Christianity, opposition and persecution serve as a catalyst for the spread, because believers took the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went or wherever they were forced to be after the persecution. Saul was a well-learned man because he was schooled under one of the most brilliant minds of that day, Gamaliel. He was a teacher of the law. He was well respected in the community for his insight and knowledge. Saul's training was under him was the one of the finest available. He was very religious. Saul was. He was a good Pharisee and he knew the Bible. So Paul was well versed in everything which he was about to do. But being all that was said from the day of Pentecost and how Christianity spread, Saul saw that Christianity was a threat to Judaism. Remember, he was a good Pharisee. He was a good Jew. And being devout and his belief and dedication to Judaism and knowing how rapidly Christianity was spreading, he decided to launch a crusade to stop the spread of Christianity. And that was his mission. He was on a war path. So he was doing everything in his power to shut the apostles down, whatever he can do. At this time, he hated the Christian faith. He hated the believers, those who was of the way, the word says, but they were believers in Christ. Saul was supportive by the Sanhedrin Council in what he was doing. The chief priests, the rulers, the elders, the Sadducees were already on the trail to stop the Christian movement. And so undoubtedly they welcomed Paul to be a part of all of that. They did not stop him of doing that. Saul, big moment in his war path. Stephen was a very powerful speaker. He was anointed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And every time he spoke, hundreds gathered to listen to him. Every time he opened his mouth, people were there to listen to him. And this did not please the scribes and the Pharisees and the council. And so decided that they were going to do something about it. Hundreds received the good message. He became one of the first Christian martyrs of the day. The people gathered and decided that they were going to pull Stephen out in the open. And they decided that they were going to stone him. At that time, Paul held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen. Because they needed to have the freedom, whatever was going to be in the way, they need to have the freedom to have an accurate shot at Stephen. And so Paul held the coats of those who stoned him. And so that was a big moment for him on his mission to shut down Christianity. But here comes the change. Paul's mission. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 through 9, talking about Saul's conversion. And he was stopped in his tracks at that time. And look at what the scripture has to say in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Let me find that real quick. Chapter 9 verse 1 to 9. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if any he found anywhere who belonged to the way, meaning to the Christian faith, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he entered Damascus on his way, suddenly a light shone from heaven, flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. God stopped him at that time. But in the meantime, God, in a vision, appeared to Ananias and told him what he must do with this guy who was led to this village or this area. Ananias did not like the idea. He said, this guy has been nothing more but trouble to the Christian faith. He persecuted Christians. He take them to jail, put them wherever he can so that they would not speak in the name of Jesus. But the voice and in the vision also said in verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. God appeared and he strengthened that vision with Ananias. In verse 17, Ananias went to the house and entered in, placing his hands on Saul, and he said, I want you to notice this, folks, how God operates in his Holy Spirit. First talking to Ananias, telling him what he must do. Ananias was not comfortable. Then he was convinced by God of what he must do. God's Spirit touched Saul even before Ananias got there to lay hands on him. And look at what the scripture says. Brother Saul, you are not a brother until you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, or a sister. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord has Jesus who appeared to you in the road and were coming here, has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God moving in such a mighty way. His name was changed from Saul to Paul. Not only was his name changed, but his mission was changed. He was no longer persecuting the church, but now he was a vessel and a channel through which the gospel of Jesus Christ will go through. So following his conversion, he began to preach and teach in the name of Jesus as a Son of God. He never lost his fierce intensity, but from then on it was channeled for the gospel of Jesus Christ. A great turnaround in the life of Saul, now Paul. Big-hearted Barnabas. Many did not believe the change that came about in Paul's life. As a matter of fact, they were afraid of him. They say, maybe this guy is just pretending to be what happened to him. And then he was going to turn around and take us all to jail. But big-hearted Barnabas received him and embraced him with love and acceptance. And sometimes, folks, we may be called to embrace someone with love and acceptance that the community has rejected. That the community does not want anything to do with this guy or this lady. But God may be talking to you because you're going to show love and acceptance to that individual. Paul was on a mission, but he was helped to fulfill his mission. And oftentimes, if we share our mission with somebody, they may help us to fulfill that mission because they are looking out for us. They know our mission, and they would be telling us things like, hey, don't forget what your mission is. Don't forget what you need to do. And so in Acts chapter 9 and verse 22 to 25, I want you to see how people help. Because they believe in Paul. They believe in what he was doing. They have an experience with Jesus Christ. And they want that story. They want that gospel to continue and not to stop. Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch over the city gates under to kill him. They want to make sure that he's not going anywhere. We are going to get him one way or another. But listen to this. His followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. They were probably saying, you are not going to get this guy. This guy is on a mission for God, for Jesus Christ, and we are going to help him to fulfill that. The other passage of scripture, I'm going to just go over that and just leave that there. You could read that. Persecution and hardship did not stop him. He went through a lot. And so I want you to bear with me as I share this these scriptures with you about the persecution and the hard times that he had. In chapter 11, and verse 22 and onward. News spread, reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Great number of people were brought to the Lord. But then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians at the time. But later on, we found out of all the hardships that Paul went through, the shipwreck, being at sea, going without food, hardly any support of any kind. But he did not stop to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians is where I should be at, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 22. But that portion of scripture showed you where Barnabas welcomed him and how God be with him. But listen to what he went through in verse 22. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk to you like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequent, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I receive from the Jews 40 lashes by the swan. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers and danger of bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger of Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have become cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aresius said that the city, that in the city, the Macedonians gathered in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from the window in the wall, slipped through the hands. Paul did not stop because of the hardship that he went through. The thorn in the flesh did not stop him either. In chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians, it talks about what happened to the Apostle Paul. In verse 7 and 10, to keep me from becoming connected because of those surpassing great revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 I plead with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and from my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. The day is for Christ's sake. I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. How many times we have dealt with a situation and we want God to just intervene and take it away. But like his word says, my grace is sufficient for you. Yes. And you may be praying over and over and over again, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul became a channel through which the gospel traveled throughout the Mediterranean and beyond, touching hearts and lives of Jesus Christ. 3 missionary journeys, final journey to Rome. Wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. God used him in a mighty way. God has and can also use us. Today we have his word before us, and how challenging and inspiring. There is someone or a family out there who would not know of the love of God unless you reach out to that individual or family. You are the only one who might be able to touch that life or that family. And may God help us that as we realize our mission, that we will trust Him to help us to fulfill that mission in whatever way. So let's let our light shine wherever we go, so that others will see Christ in us and come to glorify the Father in heaven. Let us pray. As you were praying this morning and focusing on what your mission is or might be, I'm trusting that God will lay upon your heart that you would write out that personal mission statement and God will enable you to reach out to those individuals that no one else would be able to reach. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and how his life was changed and how you use him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. How you watch over him, how you protected him. Thank you for the words and the lessons that you have left behind to encourage us and to challenge us. So bless us today as we realize our mission, knowing that you are with us every step of the way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.